This is Andy Griffith. You know, in a world where putting a meal on the table can be accomplished by boiling a plastic bag of frozen vegetables and depositing a tinfoil package in the oven, it's rather surprising that a young woman like Stephanie Goulden is going to make the phone call she's going to make. Stephanie is very much a woman of today. She's a lawyer, living in a very small apartment with a very large rent. And she's the type of sleek, chic young woman often shown in fashion magazines, climbing on a jet plane, you know, with a briefcase in her hand. She has the job she knows she wants, the lifestyle she thinks she wants, and a young man she might decide she wants to marry. Stephanie is a very intelligent, efficient young woman. And she's been doing a lot of intelligent and efficient thinking about marriage. And she's arrived at the conclusion that there are some things her law school didn't teach her that she'd better learn fast.
Harvey Gower School of Cooking.
May I speak with Mr. Gower, please? My name is Stephanie Goulden.
Speaking.
Oh, somehow I didn't expect you to answer your own phone.
Oh, it's a small organization as yet.
I see. Mr. Gower, I read your ad in the back pages of Tomorrow magazine, and I'd like to enroll in your Tuesday and Thursday night classes. Is there room for me?
Yes, there is, Miss Goulden. Tell me, what made you choose the Harley Gower School of Cooking?
Well, out of the three advertised in the magazine, one school proclaimed itself the Gingham Apron School of Apple Pie Cookery. I figured I couldn't study cooking at a school whose title turned my stomach. And the other was called something in French about blue ribbons and institutes, which scared me. Yours sounded comfortably middle of the road. I hadn't heard of you until I saw the ad in the magazine.
Well, that may be because it's the first one I've ever placed. To tell you the truth, this is the first series of classes I've held.
Can you cook?
Miss Goulden, I am one of the greatest chefs you will ever have the privilege of encountering. And someday you will tell your grandchildren that you learned to make your pomme tatin from Harley Gower himself.
My what?
Apple pie. A tart, actually.
You don't make your students wear gingham aprons, do you?
They're navy vinyl.
Good. I'll see you Tuesday night. I have the address in the magazine.
Good. See you at 8 o'clock. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Food of Love, by Sidney Swire. Our stars, Tony Tennille and Elliot Reed.
The big city where Stephanie Goulden lives and works is famous for the variety of its neighborhoods. There are Spanish sections, Czechoslovakian neighborhoods, an enormous Chinatown, a large Italian part of the city where you'd swear you were in Rome. But tonight, Stephanie finds herself in a taxi, in a neighborhood which seems to have not only no apartment houses or private homes, but at 7:45 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, no signs that anybody lives here at all.
This is it, lady. 218 Green Street.
But it can't be right. It's a deserted warehouse. Let me check the address again. I've got the magazine right here. 218 Green Street. You're right, driver. There couldn't be another Green Street, could there?
Lady, I've been driving a cab in this city for 32 years. I can find streets in this town the fire department can't find. Believe me, this is the only Green Street. Look, a lot of people buy lofts in these buildings. Artists, musicians, people who like big empty spaces. Maybe your friend is one of them. Now tell you what, you pay me the fare, I'll wait here for you. If no one comes, I'll take you out of here.
I've been using cabs in this city for 4 years, and this is the first time I've been in one driven by Prince Charming. Thank you.
Pay me or I turn into a toad.
There, keep the change. I'll be right back, okay?
Sure, lady.
Reich Barrel Erotic concepts. Gross light, kinetic aesthetics, Shriner. Ah, Harley Gower School of Cooking. The right buzzer at last.
Who is it?
Where are you?
Up here. Fourth floor window. The intercom doesn't work.
Oh, I see you. I'm Stephanie Goulden.
I'll be right there. I have to bring the elevator down myself. Otherwise, you can't get in.
Swell. It's fine, driver. I'm in the right place. Listen, do you think you could come back here about 10:30? I don't know if I'll be able to find any other forms of life down here at that hour.
Lady, for you and a tip, anything. I feel a responsibility for you, you know?
Just keep feeling it until 10:30. See you later.
Miss Goulden?
Yes, Mr. Gower. Somehow I expected you to look different.
A bald head and 300 pounds?
Something like that.
Well, I told you, it's a new school. Give me a couple of years. Oh, be careful getting into the elevator. You have to step up.
It has no sides.
Yeah, it's a freight elevator. See, this used to be an old warehouse, and they brought shipments of machinery up in this elevator. That's why it's manually controlled by these ropes.
Oh.
To replace the works would have been incredibly expensive, and as you may have noticed by the names on the intercom, the inhabitants of this building must be artists or musicians or writers to live here. Occupations not necessarily noted for their financial rewards.
Well, if only artists and musicians and writers can live here, what is the Harley Gower School of Cooking doing on the fourth floor?
Well, I was an art director for a magazine for about 7 years, and doing a lot of painting then, too, so I qualified when I bought it. Then I decided about 6 months ago that I wanted to cook for a living instead. So I quit, put all my savings into equipment for the school, and here I am. And here's the fourth floor. I guess that's all of us. Now, first, let me ask you to introduce yourselves to each other. Name and a bit of background, if you like, and why you're in cooking school. Why don't you start, Miss Draper?
Oh, well, I guess I'm what you might call a homebody and an old-fashioned girl. I know the way to a man's heart is through his tummy. And I came to this city from Blue Falls, Idaho, because I heard it was the best place to meet a rich tycoon. I know a lot about baking and cooking real down-home country food, but I came to Mr. Gower's classes to learn some real sophisticated tricks that a big city sophisticate would just love when I invite him home to dinner.
Good grief.
Thank you, Miss Draper. Mr. Harper?
My wife was the second worst cook in the entire world. I got married when I was 25 years old, so for the first 25 years of my life, I ate 3 meals a day cooked by the first worst cook in the world, my mother. Now, I was married to my wife, God bless her, for 45 years. Now, I survived her cooking, but she didn't. When she died 4 years ago, I moved in with my daughter, who, God bless her, is carrying on the third-generation tradition of her mother and grandmother before. So I decided I'm not going to take it anymore. And I chose Mr. Gower's school because it is a man's name. I figured maybe his mother and his wife was lousy cooks, too.
My mother was a superb cook. She got me started. And I don't have a wife yet. Miss Goulden?
Well, I'm a lawyer, and I'm rarely home. I travel a lot, and I have to eat out a lot. I have absolutely no interest in food, but to be perfectly frank, I've met a man I think I eventually want to marry. So while I have no intention of spending my days cooking pot roast, I do think it would be a good idea to know how to turn on the stove.
Oh, Miss Goulden, you're a real sophisticate.
Well, in the interest of Miss Draper's prospective tycoon, Mr. Harper's digestion, and Miss Goulden's fiancé...
He's not a fiancé.
Oh, good. Well, in the interests of all the aforementioned, let's get to work. Now, Miss Draper has asked to begin with sauces. I'll demonstrate each of three, Cumberland, Hollandaise, and Béarnaise. You will take notes, ask questions, and then each of you will prepare one sauce by himself. Ready?
Yeah. I spent 3 years in the toughest law school in the United States of America, and it didn't seem as long as this evening. Good heavens, there's a bacteria mold in my Cumberland sauce.
Oh, that's the cornstarch lumping, dear. All you need to do is whisk it for a few minutes and it'll dissolve.
Thank you very much. Miss Draper.
Madge to you, dear.
Thank you. Madge, I thought a whisk was a kind of a broom. You mean you actually sweep the sauce?
No, not that kind of whisk. A wire whisk. Here's one. Just whip the sauce like this, and all those naughty lumps just whisk away.
You're an angel of mercy.
Well, how are we doing over here?
Just whisking along.
Fine. Well, it's almost 10 o'clock. Why don't we all sit down and taste the results of the session?
Hi. Thanks so much for showing up.
I'm still feeling that responsibility. Have a good time?
Quite possibly the worst time I've spent since the night of my junior prom. I hope it won't be this bad on Thursday.
Thursday? Wow, you're a glutton for punishment, lady.
I'm a glutton for something, and it sure isn't food. After tonight, I may move to a hotel where all I have to do is phone room service 3 times a day.
Stephanie's been slaving over Harley Gower's hot stove for several weeks now. Her sauces have considerably fewer lumps, and her soufflés almost never collapse. This morning we find her curled up on her living room couch, sipping instant coffee and reading the papers.
Hello?
Good morning. It's Harley Gower.
Good morning. What can I do for you?
A favor, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry to invade your Saturday privacy, but I'm desperate.
Someone suing for ptomaine tuna fish?
No, it's nothing to do with law.
Don't tell me. You can't mean...
Yes.
Say it isn't so.
I knew you'd hate the whole idea, but yes, I need your skilled hands in my kitchen.
You must be desperate. How come, and why me?
Well, I'd been asked to cater a wedding. I'd taken the job over a month ago and lined up a freelance assistant to help, but he just called and has a terrible case of flu, and as I'd rather not have him sneezing all over the Ramaki, I thought I'd ask one of my students to help. I need someone who knows their way around my kitchen. I can't handle the logistics of pilaf for 150 people all by myself.
What would I have to do?
Oh, just arrange things on platters, whipped cream, that sort of thing. I've done most of the actual cooking. It's just the last-minute preparations and heating and stuff that I need an extra pair of hands for.
Are you absolutely positive? I mean, do you swear it has nothing to do with creativity or experience or inspiration? It really is something I cannot louse up for you.
I swear on James Beard, Julia's child, or anything else you can mention.
Shall I come to the loft?
Yeah, about 2 o'clock. We'll finish the cooking, pack everything up, and then move on to the party.
I can't believe I'm agreeing to this.
Well, neither can I. See you too. I supply aprons.
I know. Blue vinyl. Goodbye.
Bye, and thanks.
It's strange to see this neighborhood in broad daylight. It's very intriguing.
You think that's intriguing? Wait till you see the party we're catering.
Where is it?
On the second floor.
Of this building?
Yeah. Gross Light Erotic Art is marrying Reich Barrel Kinetic Aesthetics.
Think they'll go into erotic aesthetics?
Oh, I think they already have, quite a while ago. Plans are to get married, incorporate, and knock a hole through one loft into the living room of the other and form some kind of gallery. What will be exhibited is what fascinates me. I figured being a lawyer, you've dealt with all kinds of hideous human behavior, and a little more wouldn't shock you.
You mean there won't be any little girls scattering rose petals?
Honey, we'll be lucky if there's a minister.
Miss Grosslight. I mean, Mrs. Reich Barrel, I must tell you, the last wedding I attended was in a Presbyterian church in a small town. There were four little blonde boys in blue velvet suits and six bridesmaids with pink dresses and cream chicken for lunch, and I think yours beats that one all hollow.
Oh, wow, that's really beautiful. See, we don't believe in organized marriage for marriage's sake. Igor and I see ourselves as beyond mere human conventions and mores. And there's really no motive for contracting one's individual horizons by merely complying with society's intolerant standards.
Then why did you get married?
Because my father threatened to stop supporting us if we didn't.
Oh, I see. Are your parents here today?
Sure. They're the couple over there. He's in the three-piece suit. She has the corsage and has taken the aspirin.
Who's that young man they're talking to? The one who's barefoot without any shirt?
He's Igor's cousin. He was the best man.
Without a shirt?
Yeah, he's into some kind of religious thing. They wear loincloths and not much else. The trousers were a concession for the occasion. Hey, how did you meet Holly?
I study cooking with him twice a week. I just came today to help out.
Oh, wow. Igor thought I should maybe study with him, too, but I prefer to let inspiration inspire me when it comes to nourishment.
Have some ramaki.
No, thanks. I'm fasting. Hey, if you're not a caterer, what do you do?
I'm a lawyer.
Really? Wow, I'm a musician myself. Did you catch my cacophony for tape recorder and broken glass at the museum last month?
Gosh, no, and I just felt so bad about it.
Yeah, it was stratospheric. Hey, if you're a lawyer, I know someone who could really use your services. He's being sued by someone who bought one of his artworks. It's that guy over there in the orange cape and the pith helmet. Hey, Ezra! Ezra! Hey, come over here. This is Stephanie. She helped Holly with the food.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Stephanie is a lawyer, and I thought she might help you with that goon who's suing you.
Oh, wow, terrific. You see, he bought an artwork for me, and it started to rot, which was part of the integral concept anyway. And now he wants me to take it back and return his dough, which is impossible because of the principle of the thing, and also because I spent it. So he's suing.
The artwork began to rot?
Yeah. Well, you see, my work deals with relationships, and I'm currently surveying the relationship of North American wildlife, which I'm really concerned with, and its fate at the hands of industrial expansion.
Well, I've done quite a lot of work for conservation groups, and I know quite a bit about corporate growth. Tell me exactly what happened.
Okay, you see, the work he bought symbolized the slow decrease of the natural world at the hands of machines. You see, it was this goat, dead, of course, which I hung from the middle of my canvas and surrounded by barbed wire and aluminum foil. It was very effective, I have to admit.
I believe you.
Anyway, I finally got a gallery to exhibit it, and this guy bought it. But apparently, he had it a few weeks when it began to smell. Well, heck, I don't include any money back guarantee. I got this goat real cheap from this student taxidermist I date, and I felt the guy took the goat for better or for worse, you know what I mean. So now he's suing me, and I guess I'll need a lawyer.
And he'll need a fumigator. It's not really the sort of case
I have. Oh, please, Steph, you're my last hope. If we win, I can't pay you in money, but I'll build you an artwork like you wouldn't believe.
How can I resist? Write down your name and number, and I'll call you next week.
Oh, wow, thanks, Steph. Let me go find a crayon.
Stephanie, how are you doing?
Grand. I think they pretty much picked the platters clean. You think we can start clearing up?
Yeah, and let's move fast. Apparently, they're going to wind up the celebration with some North African fertility dances to wish the bride and groom Godspeed.
I wonder if the dancing will be accompanied by broken glass and tape recorders.
Yeah, I consider it uncomfortably probable. So, look, let's just stack everything in these baskets, take them upstairs, and you can leave, and I'll load the dishwasher a lot.
I'll help. Using every possible inch of space in a dishwasher is one of my many talents.
There. We're done. Oh, I really can't thank you enough, Stephanie. I hope the marriage goes as smoothly as the reception.
Somehow I doubt it will.
Somehow, so do I. Hey, I have some organic apple juice. Shall we toast the happy couple?
All right.
To Mr. and Mrs. Reichbarrel, may their aesthetics be sympathetic and their kinetics not be frenetic or something.
To the Reichbarrels, as a lawyer, may I never represent one against the other in court as long as they both shall live.
Good. Hey, Stephanie, do you think you could bear to do something like this again next Saturday night?
There cannot be another wedding reception like this one.
No. I am catering an opening night party for a new theater company. It's something about extraterrestrial beings encountering Genghis Khan in Brooklyn. Oh, very strange, but significant. Anyway, they're paying me, and that is my criterion for accepting a job. You want to help?
I wish I could. I really do, Harley, but I have to go to a reception at an embassy. My law firm is involved with some people who'll be there, and it's very important for me to be seen. Lots of people I have to impress. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to do the shopping on Saturday morning. Want to come?
Supermarkets on Saturdays are not my idea of heaven.
Oh, I'm not going to a supermarket. I'm going to a lot of little markets in the shopping area at the bottom of town. Haven't you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's an experience. And the lowest prices in the city. Hmm. The first day I discovered those little shops, I got so carried away with all the money I was saving that I bought 6 bags of stuff and had to pay for a cab to take me home. Oh, meet me Saturday. It'll be fun.
All right. Would you answer a question for me?
Anything.
Did you really need me this afternoon? It seemed to me you could have handled twice as many people in half the time. You have your business down to a science.
Yes, I could have. I've done it before.
Then why did you...
You're the lawyer, Stephanie. Draw your own conclusions. Hey, come on, it's late. I'll take you down and find you a cab.
Like all big cities, the one Stephanie lives in has an old-fashioned shopping area down at the bottom of town. It's a real family neighborhood where the meat and vegetable and fruit shops have been owned by the same families for decades, and where the customers have been having the same arguments with them for years and years and years.
You've really never been here before?
Never. I tend to buy my food wrapped in plastic and unit priced. Oh. I didn't even know anything like this existed.
Oh, yeah. Now, first stop is across the street. I need some shrimp.
Vito Barbieri, the Scungili King.
Scungili.
What's Scungili?
Oh, it's delicious.
What is it, Harley?
Come on, you can sample it. They fry it instead of regular fish and chips.
I'm not tasting anything I do not recognize.
It's conch. Most people say conch. But don't let that influence your decision. It tastes kind of like chewy chicken.
Whenever people want you to eat something disgusting, they tell you it tastes like chicken. No thanks.
Hi, Mr. Barbieri. Got some good shrimp? Nice and fresh?
Oh, from our nets to your mouth. How much do you want?
About 10 pounds. And do you have any of your fried scungili ready? Miss Goulden here would love a taste. She loves adventure in eating.
I will be revenged on you for this.
Sure. Here, lady. My own recipe. You like?
Yes. Yes, I do. I've never had conch.
Conch.
Conch before.
Good. Here, try this. You think you went to fish paradise.
Don't ask what it is till you've swallowed.
Thank you. What was it? I loved it.
Squid. Not much call for it, but I keep it on hand. Now you like it, you'll come back and buy some soon, eh?
You know I will. It's a change from Eggs Benedict for luncheon.
Thanks, Harley. Here's your change. I got something special in this morning. I could give you some for dinner. You just broil it. Tastes better than swordfish. I'll wrap you enough for two. You have a nice romantic dinner and think of me.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're both going different places tonight. But let me know when you have some more, and Stephanie and I will have A romantic dinner.
You come back again, lady. It's good to meet someone pro-fish. You like trying new things, huh? New experiences?
Yes. I seem to be having more and more of them in the past few weeks.
Good for you. Keeps you young. Now, you look at me. You know what I did last summer? For the first time in my life, I attend a nudist colony for a week. Very interesting people. Makes you see what makes the world go round. New experiences. New lease on life.
I'm beginning to see that. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And now I take you next door to the land of the pomegranate and the nectarine. McEnroth's fruit stand. Hi, Bob. I've got a list. Can I just give it to you and you fill it?
You bet. What's first? Lemons? Lemons.
Hey, Bob, how's your lawsuit coming?
Lawsuit? The plot thickens.
It's the pits. Here's your lemons.
All right.
That shiesty lawyer, I think he's on a take. Plums. And here they are. Every time I go see him, I bring him a nice little gift. You know, imported mangoes, huckleberries, when no one else in the city can get huckleberries. I bring him presents, and what does he tell me? He's looking into it. For 2 months, he's looking into it. While he looks into it and eats my huckleberries, I'm losing my reputation.
Bob.
Lawyers. They should be illegal. I fired him yesterday and took back my berries.
Bob, this is Miss Goulden. She is a lawyer.
Who's suing you, Mr. McEnroth?
Suing me? No one is suing me. I am suing. Does this say £3, Charlie?
Yeah. I am suing Aragon Pictures Incorporated. Last year, this list says oranges, Harley. Oranges aren't so terrific today. Can you use tangerines?
Sure.
Good choice. Tangerines it is. Anyway, last year, Aragon Pictures Incorporated calls me. They want to use my fruit stand to make a movie. They'll pay me $250 and use my wife and my nieces as background people. Very exciting. I say yes. The whole neighborhood comes over to watch. Then 8 months later, we go to see the movie. Maybe you caught it, miss. Return of Killer Sludge. Slimy green stuff from Neptune oozes down from the sky and gets into people's food. And when they eat it, they turn into green slimy stuff. They want to use my stand to show how the sludge gets into the hands of unsuspecting public who innocently buys fruit in a thriving metropolis. Now, when they made this movie, the studio swore that no one would see my sign.
Uh-huh.
So, I see the movie, and lo and behold, there is the slime, there is my fruit, there is my niece Carmen, and there is my sign. Big as brass. I feel they impugn my good name. And I want to see what they're going to do about it at the rotten studio.
Did you have a contract spelling out the provision that your name not be seen on the sign in the movie?
Sure, I had a contract. I have it hidden where no spies from that rotten studio can come and take it, and then I wouldn't have a case.
Well, if you'd like to have a legal opinion on it, here's my card. I'll see what I can do.
I'll call you Monday. You like loganberries?
They sound delicious, but I'm not on the take.
I could tell. You know how I know you're an honest girl? Because all the time we're talking, you have not stolen one single grape from me. And that's a true sign of character. Very few customers come in here longer than a few minutes and can resist popping a few grapes into their mouths. Especially when I got the green seedless in stock. Like this guy. I always charge Harley for extra grapes. He thinks I don't spot him, but I got grape radar. But you... You're honest to the core. You'll pardon the expression. I'll call you Monday, and together we'll destroy Aragon Pictures.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of The Food of Love.
Well, that's the last of my shopping. Genghis Khan on Flatbush Avenue may turn out to be the world's worst play, but there'll be an opening night buffet that you wouldn't believe. Are you sure you can't change your plans and come with me?
I can't, Harley. It's extremely important for me to be at the embassy party tonight.
Okay. I just thought I'd give it one last try. Hey, you want some lunch? There's a little dump on the street here that serves great cervelle au beurre noir.
Sounds wonderful. I'm starving. What is it they serve?
Cervelle au beurre...
In English, please. Whenever you speak of food in another language, I know I should be suspicious.
Oh, come on, you'll love it.
Is it the French term for conch or squid?
No, Stephanie, it is the French word for brains.
Oh.
Sautéed calves' brains in brown butter sauce.
Oh.
Now, will you please come and have lunch with me?
On the whole, I'd rather stick to conch.
¶¶ sure you don't want a little taste of my cervell?
No, thank you very much. I'm doing fine.
Oh, an omelet. An omelet. Who eats an omelet when they could be eating calf's brains and brown butter? What are you, Stephanie, a tourist?
Bonjour, Monsieur Gower. Everything to your satisfaction?
Oh, hi, Chong Lu. Perfect. Thank you. Stephanie Goulden, may I introduce Chong Lu Chevalier, the owner of the restaurant.
How do you do? I'm fascinated with your restaurant. I've never been in one with a Chinese-French menu before.
Bien sûr, it surprises you to select part of your table d'hôte from column A and part from column B, no?
Yes, it certainly does. And I've never seen any place decorated with French provincial dragons before.
Well, Mademoiselle Goulden, my father was French and my mother was Chinese. That is why I look like one nationality and sound like another.
Where were you born?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. But my mother died when I was a child, and my father took me back to France, where I learned to love both cuisines. And when I came to this city, I decided a restaurant where you could complete a coq au vin dinner with some lychee nut souffle might be a new twist. So, here we are. Enjoy your meal.
Au revoir. Is me a kick? Someday we'll come here and I'll have him cook his bird's nest soup a la Arc de Triomphe.
You seem to know every place and everyone around here, Harley.
Oh, no. Not everyone. But I come down here a lot because the atmosphere is so basic, I guess. Food is a common meeting ground for everyone. Not everybody has legal problems or makes movies or needs an interior decorator, but everyone has to eat. It's universal. So it brings me into contact with all kinds of people and all kinds of experiences.
Is that why you asked me to help you last Saturday and meet you here today?
Stephanie, what do you mean?
You know what I mean. All week long I've been thinking about last Saturday, about your loft and you and the people at that wedding reception. I've spoken to Ezra a few times, and I must admit that defending him against the character who bought his barbed wire goat is proving more interesting than the kind of work my law firm specializes in. And then this embassy reception I'm going to tonight. For 3 years of law school and all of my professional life, I have slaved to be in a position to be invited to this kind of evening, to do the kind of legal work I know my firm will give me after tonight. And now I find myself more concerned with Mr. McEnroth's sign. I shouldn't even be here now. I should be under a hairdryer with a mud pack on my face, having my nails done and my best evening dress pressed to look right for this reception. And here I am in a French restaurant which has a Chinese head waiter watching you consume the inside of a baby cow's head. I'm not acting like myself. That's what worries me.
Maybe you are acting like yourself. And that's what's really worrying you. Stephanie, I don't mean to pry, but did something happen with your young man?
How'd you know that?
Oh, I just had a hunch. Did something go wrong?
The strange thing is, I'm not sure whether something went wrong or if something finally came right.
Is the engagement off?
I told you, it was never an engagement. But yes, whatever it was, it's off.
You want to talk about it?
Not particularly. I just don't think I want to live solely in the VIP world he lives in. I used to think I did, but since I've known you, I've begun to understand that I like many more colors in my life than he does, if you know what I mean.
I do. I told you, I used to be an art director.
After he left, I looked around my smart white apartment and watered my smart green asparagus fern, and I felt as if my life was somehow textureless. Since I was 9 years old, I've wanted to be a lawyer. And now that I'm not only a lawyer, but a successful big city lawyer, I feel that I've had my eye on one goal so long that I've ignored lots of other things.
Such as calves' brains and parties and lofts?
Such as fun. You're making me see that life should not only be challenging and stimulating, but fun. And that's a big idea for me to accept. All my life I've worked and studied and been so single-minded about attaining what I wanted that I haven't had much thought about just enjoying things, enjoying my work. I love law, but enjoying it, that's something new. That's your message, isn't it?
Not if you're going to be upset with me.
I'm not upset exactly. It's It's just extremely galling for a lawyer to discover that someone knows more about a subject than she does, particularly when the subject is herself. I hate being wrong about anything, Harley.
Stephanie, the only thing you've been wrong about is not having a taste of my lunch.
That's it. That's the difference between us. You taste things. Food, life, people. I never have.
Mr. Barbieri thought you were extremely adventurous.
I don't know if I want to be adventurous. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing for a lawyer to be. My kind of lawyer, anyway. I've always dealt with corporations, not with people. Dealing one-to-one with the kind of people I've met through you is a whole different way of looking at myself, and a whole different world than the one I've worked so hard to inhabit. I'm not sure I want to change worlds. I'm not sure which world I belong in.
Of course you are. You just don't want to admit you've been wrong about yourself since you were 9. Have some dessert.
No, thanks.
Café au lait? Lapsang souchong tea?
Harley, why?
Because they come with the lunch.
That's not what I mean. I mean, why do you take the trouble to send me messages about people and life and having fun?
Counselor, all I can say is, you've figured out the case so far. Bring it to its logical conclusion. Would you like some fortune cookies? They're shaped like little Eiffel Towers.
Your conclusion may not be logical, Harley. Not for me, but thank you for lunch. Who is it?
Harley Gower.
Just a minute.
Look, don't be angry at your doorman. I bribed him to let me come up without announcing me. I wanted to be sure you wouldn't refuse to see me.
I wouldn't have done that. Come in, come in. If it isn't a violation of the principles by which you live, would you like a cup of instant coffee?
I love instant coffee. It's one of my few vices. Is this your kitchen? Looks like an operating room for midgets. I brought you a peace offering. I'm sorry about the other day. I came across smug and know-it-all and... There isn't anything you could learn from me, Stephanie. You're perfect already.
That's the first really dumb thing I've ever heard you say. I'm sorry I was so rude. I've just been feeling disoriented and unsure of where I'm going. I guess I need some time to think things through, study some facts, and arrive at some conclusions. What's your peace offering?
Some super-duper French mustard in an overpriced pottery jar. And some Bolingbroke imported gooseberry preserves by appointment to the Queen of England, purveyors of everything fattening.
Just the thing to spread on my diet toast. Thank you.
Stephanie, when you feel better about things, could we have dinner together?
It may be a while.
I'll wait. Patience is part of being a good cook.
Instead of dinner, could we go to a hockey game or a movie or something unrelated to food?
What? You mean you don't want to cook me a meal with your own hands? Me, a real big city sophisticate? My love, my dearest love, as far as I'm concerned, you never have to set foot in a kitchen again. Water's ready. Where's your diet bread? I'll just make us a little breakfast.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Food of Love, was written by Sidney Swire and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Tony Tennille and Elliot Reed. Featured in the cast were Marvin Miller, Peggy Weber, Shepard Mankin, and Howard Culver. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Kodak Paper. When you get your pictures developed, be sure to ask for the only paper in the world that says, "This paper manufactured by Kodak." And by Maxwell House Coffee, coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, always good to the last drop.
This is Vincent Price. Tomorrow at this time, we'll bring you my kind of story. Lots of thrills and chills.